The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' Indeed, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asked for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. It's only been a few weeks now since it happened. Even if you've been at worship every Sunday this July, you might not have noticed the change. Wondering what on earth I'm talking about? Well, we are using a new translation of the Bible, the New Revised Standard Version Updated Edition. And this wasn't a change I took to the Worship and Music Committee for discussion and evaluation and vote like I do for many worship-related matters. We didn't have a choice. The NRSV we've read from and listened to and studied for decades is out. The NRSVUE is in. As of June 30th, publishers are no longer even allowed to sell the NRSV. It was taken down from the Aramis website, the searchable database, a Bible database I use regularly. The NRSV is kaput. Apparently, its copyright owner, the National Council of Churches, has decreed it. Of course, any NRSV Bibles you have in your home or we have here in the church building haven't been programmed to spontaneously combust upon such a decree, so that's good. I mention all of this because something might have felt a teeny bit off to you as I read the Gospel from Luke a few moments ago. The passage was, of course, Luke's account of that time a disciple asked Jesus how to pray. By this point, well into Jesus' earthly ministry, the disciples have witnessed Jesus pray regularly. For instance, after he is baptized, and after he spends time preaching and healing crowds, when Luke reports Jesus would slip away to deserted places and pray. Jesus goes out and spends a night on a mountain praying before he chooses 12 apostles from the group of disciples following him. He is praying again on a mountain when he gets all shiny and glowy. Moses and Elijah appear, and a voice from heaven speaks, the event we call Jesus' transfiguration. We might assume that after seeing and hearing Jesus pray many times, his hand-picked disciples would just kind of absorb how to do it, like through osmosis or something. Of all the people who shouldn't need any help or guidance about prayer, you'd think it would be the people up close and personal with Jesus, those constantly in his presence, those whom Jesus has empowered to heal, to speak peace and proclaim the kingdom of God on his behalf. But prayer can be hard for us mortal, sinful creatures, even apparently for people like Simon, Peter, Matthew, James, and John. We get distracted. We aren't sure what to say. We wonder if God is listening, or we don't make time for prayer at all. It has been true across the ages. The psalmist long, long ago lamented, "Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer." The early church fathers acknowledged that prayer was a struggle, the, quote, most difficult labor, one called it. After her death, writings of Mother, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, were published in which she admitted that God had become silent to her, a desolation that lasted for years. "I look and do not see," she wrote, "listen and do not hear." "Lord, teach us to pray," one of the disciples says. "Explain to us how to talk to God like you do. Help us to know what to ask for and how to ask for it." And so, Jesus does. As I mentioned earlier, you might have noticed a slight change in the NRSVUE translation of the prayer Jesus offers, what we call, along with the Gospel of Matthew's version, the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be your name" has become "May your name be revered as holy." "Your kingdom come" has become "May your kingdom come." As we use this updated translation of the scriptures, we will encounter minor but noticeable revisions such as these. Some edits are almost invisible to the average reader. The addition of a comma between phrases here, the deletion of a semicolon there. And some edits are biggies. The Hebrew text of Genesis 1:1, which had been translated into the familiar, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void." Well, that's now translated, "When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos." It can be hard to accept changes to beloved and familiar language. I will try to comfort you by saying that the NRSVUE is regarded as the clearest and most accurate English translation available. It reflects new textual evidence and historical insights gleaned over the last 30 years since the NRSV was published. And it reflects the input of many respected scholars of the Hebrew and New Testaments. The goal in all of this, of course, is to make the Holy Scriptures, written by many people from many cultures over many centuries in different languages, reveal the truth of God's love and salvation to us. No matter the translation, it's clear that the prayer Jesus instructs his disciples and us to pray is a prayer meant to help us connect to God, the creator of the universe and all that is in it, as a loving and nurturing parent. Father is the name we are to use. The prayer Jesus teaches calls us to honor and worship our God. May your name be revered as holy. It calls us to ask for God's justice and mercy to reign. May your kingdom come. It calls us to recognize our dependence on God for the things we need. Give us each day our daily bread. It calls us to acknowledge our brokenness and our obligations to others. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And it calls us to ask for God's protection and care as we live our lives. Do not bring us to the time of trial. The petitions of the prayer Jesus teaches us call us out of ourselves, to see ourselves in relationship to God, to God's kingdom, to the people around us, and to recognize God as the source of sustenance, forgiveness, and strength. It's not a self-interested prayer like the ones we sometimes pray for a parking place close to the mall entrance, to win the lottery, to be successful in life, one of those, Lord, if you help me get out of this situation, I promise I will fill in the blank prayers. It's a prayer that helps keep us focused on who and whose we are. And maybe that's why it sticks. Why people who haven't set foot in a church for decades will pray it with me at the bedside of a dying family member. Why someone in the end stages of Alzheimer's can still say the words long after their memory of almost everything else is gone. I hope that every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you feel your connection to Jesus and his disciples and the countless people of faith across the centuries who have spoken the words he gave us. Because however we call out to our Father, whatever language we speak, whatever translation we use, the good news is that God is listening. So may we pray. May we always boldly pray.